This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this weekend, and we invite you to call us. 888-302-3684 gets you right into the doctor's office. And before we get to your phone calls, I just got back from the country of Belgium. I had to go to Belgium to visit with some new relatives. A member of a family married a Belgian, and that gave me a pretext to go over there and do a lot of touring around. And I visited World War I battle sites. It's amazing because throughout Flanders, which is a part of Western Belgium, the flat part, there are cemeteries with tens of thousands of grave sites and even memorials to those who were never found. Giant memorials inscribed with over 50,000 names of Allied soldiers who perished in terrible, terrible battles that occurred during World War I. Gas attacks and artillery barrages and machine guns, and even disease, typhus and trench foot, took a terrible toll of the poor soldiers who were fighting that very, very horrible war. And then I headed east to a place called Bastogne, which is the site of the Battle of the Bulge, the place where the Americans were encircled, but their commanding general, said to the Germans who demanded that they surrender, he gave a one-word response, which was nuts. And they took that response to the Germans, and the Germans said, "I do not understand that. Nuts. Is that affirmative or negative?" Because they didn't really get it. The Americans were going to fight and resist. And they did. And eventually General Patton came to their relief, and the Germans were pushed back in the final denouement of World War II. So it was a historical tour, and there's about a six-hour difference in time, and jet lag is a big factor when you go to Europe. And I was really helped by melatonin. I took 3 milligrams of melatonin at my desired bedtime a little bit before and right, of course, every night when I was in Belgium. And then on returning, I began taking melatonin at my desired bedtime. And it's a reset. It's a way of resetting your circadian clock. And while I suffered from a little bit of sleep deprivation, felt a little out of it the first day, adjusted pretty well to the new time zone. It's a matter of getting up at the right time, getting some sunlight in your eyes, eating at the right times, not having meals according to your previous time zone, but according to the new time zone, because that sets your time clock, and a little bit of exercise. I managed, because there were gyms in some of the hotels that I stayed at, to get a little bit of morning exercise, which helped adjust my body clock. So had dinner with some of the new relatives, and one of them is a doctor, and he told me a little bit about healthcare over there. Healthcare is virtually free for Belgians. Well, it's not really free because somebody pays for it. They pay very, very high taxes over there, but it's socialized medicine. And they pay very little for medications because medications cost a lot more in the U.S., and medications are cheaper over there. So when they go to get a prescription, it's maybe 5 euros for a medication. That would be about $6 every time they get a prescription filled. Spoke to the doctor there, and the doctor said that he's very happy being a doctor, but I got to say that the income horizons for doctors, not as great as they are in the United States. But it's a society where they've sort of leveled the playing field. So everybody is sort of in the middle there. Everybody gets a lot of services out of the government. There's not as big a difference between the haves and the have-nots, but there's also not great income horizons. You can't make a killing over there as a doctor. You can do quite well, but it's not like in the United States. And one thing he said kind of struck me. He said, I'm becoming more of a healthcare administrator rather than having direct patient contact because of all the bureaucratic rules and the needs for filling out forms and computerized systems that they're now subjecting people to over there, which is certainly coming over here very soon. Also, when it comes to diet, I have to say, I don't need to eat another French fry for a year. Because over there, every meal is served with French fries. You get mussels with French fries. You get shish kebab with French fries. You get fish with French fries. And it's usually served with mayonnaise, although knowing that you're an American, they usually offer you some ketchup, which I guess is a new innovation over there. Lots and lots of beer. I didn't drink very much beer over there, but I tried some, and it was very good. Visited a brewery, and I did what's called a beer flight. That's you get an opportunity to try three different beers. And I thought they were going to give me little tiny glasses, but they gave me pretty substantial glasses. So that was an interesting experience. When it comes to exercise, the population of Belgium, very, very active, because everybody is on a bike, from little kids, and they're literally little fleets of kids riding to school and back, and on little excursions. And then, everybody is on a bike. And it's a little, when you walk down the streets of Belgium, it's a little daunting because people are whizzing by on bikes. But they're a little bit like the way bats navigate at night. They somehow manage not to collide with one another or with you, although I got a couple of kind of close brushbacks, from people riding bikes. But people of all ages ride bikes. And I swear there were some people well into their 70s, perhaps in their 80s, riding bikes. And I even saw one guy, he jumped off his bike, and he put it up against a wall, and he started to walk away. And he had one leg. He had a prosthetic leg, and he was riding a bike. And there are giant, giant parking lots for bikes. The train station, there's a huge hall in which people park their bikes, and then they commute to another city to work. Or sometimes they take folding bikes on the trains to work so that they can ride to their destination. And it's a great way to get around, and they've figured it out. Somehow it works. Even though the streets are cobblestone and you can literally knock your fillings loose with the concussion of riding over cobblestones mile after mile, there's a lot to see over there. It's a different culture. And one thing I noticed, less in the way of super obese people. Most of the people, you know, maybe a little chunky in some cases, but the super obese, less common. Most people, relatively thin. Even though they don't eat a particularly superlative diet. They eat a lot of chocolate, drink a lot of beer, have a lot of carbohydrates and starches and breads, croissants, a typical breakfast. But ultimately, I think exercise helps them to overcome some of their dietary excesses. 888-302-3684 is their number. We got lots to talk about this weekend. And we'll share more with you in just a moment here on Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about intelligent medicine.
Congratulations! You've survived disco nights and 12-hour days, not to mention fast food and life in the fast lane. Now it's time to fight the effects of modern life in the digital age and aging itself with one of life's natural miracles, garlic. Its healing and health-giving properties are great. But what about the odor? Well, you don't need to eat raw cloves to get all the good things in garlic. Just take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. University research confirms that Kyolic is the one true antioxidant garlic supplement. It helps defend you against free radicals and helps keep blood pressure and cholesterol in check. So if Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract can do everything researchers report, just think what it could do for you. See for yourself. For more information, go to kyolic.com. That's KYOLIC.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. For people who take their garlic and their health seriously, look for Kyolic where quality natural supplements are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And if you're interested in managing your blood pressure without medication, I've got some exciting news about an effective non-drug treatment. It's the Zona Plus. The Zona Plus is a simple handheld smart device that you hold for 12 minutes once a day. It guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. And here's the good news. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks with no negative side effects. There have been good reviews by Mayo Clinic, Harvard Health Letter, and the American Heart Association. I've got patients using this device, and they're very satisfied with the results, and many listeners have provided me with positive feedback. You can try it risk-free. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. If it doesn't, return it for a full refund. And as a special offer to listeners of Intelligent Medicine, the company is providing you with special savings of $50 and free shipping. So to find out more, go to tryzonanow.com. They've set up a special website, tryzonanow.com, or call toll-free 866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. All right, our number is 888-302-3684. We've got a caller. Leonard, how you doing, Leonard?
Hello.
Hello, Leonard.
Hi. I have a relative who is 85 years old and was diagnosed with breast cancer 10 years ago and treated with Arimidex, but the cancer's returned and spread to her shoulder, and her oncologist is treating her with hormonal injections. But is in pain. And, you know, you hear a lot of advertising about maybe a stereotactic surgery or acupuncture. I know because she was in pain, we brought her to the emergency room one night and the ER, they gave her morphine. But, we're just wondering, is there anything that, we can do?
Well, you know, I think when we talk about breast cancer, the best place for natural therapy in breast cancer is in prevention or in dealing with the early phases of a precancerous situation. So what we have now is something like DCIS, which is now considered not even possibly a cancer. It's a precancer. It's changes in the cells in the breast, which sometimes leads women to get double mastectomies, which we now have come to realize maybe way overkill, and that these women can be treated, much as men with early prostate cancer, with what we call active holistic surveillance, meaning they get diet modification, they get exercise, they get certain supplements, and I've listed them in a series of articles that I wrote about early breast cancer, that can really slow the progression of breast cancer. But with an 85-year-old who has already received lots of therapy and has now become resistant to hormone blockade, it becomes much more challenging. And there may be some strategies that haven't yet been employed, the use of certain anti-cancer nutrients. I can name several, higher doses of vitamin D, curcumin, boswellin. These can be helpful. Empower to enhance immunity. Apple pectin or modified apple pectin is something that can be used to prevent metastases. But she's obviously got metastases. She probably has metastasis to the bone, and that's a very serious situation. So she's being treated palliatively. They probably don't hold out much prospect that they can save her, but they want to make her more comfortable, and they're giving her pain medication, in this case, morphine.
Is acupuncture a possibility?
Acupuncture is a possibility, but it's kind of weak in the face of the pain of a bone metastasis. One other treatment that might be worth trying, because it seems to modify the immune response in cancer and might be helpful, is something called low-dose naltrexone. Low-dose naltrexone is promising in many cancers. I'm not sure if it's applicable to your 85-year-old. But, I would give it to a patient who has breast cancer because it seems to modify the immune system to help the body fight the cancer in a more efficient way. But, this sounds like a far-gone situation that might be challenging to treat with natural therapy. Okay?
Yes. Okay. All right.
Thanks for your call.
Okay.
888-302-3684 is our number. All right. It's an important article because hypothyroidism, currently treated with synthetic thyroid medication. The drugs in question, Synthroid, or the generic, levothyroxine, are commonly prescribed to people who have low thyroid function. But a new article from Rush University Medical Center suggests that about 15% of the 10 to 12 million people in the U.S. with hypothyroidism continue to feel sick despite following what's called the standard of care, which is to give synthetic thyroid, currently recommended by the American Thyroid Association. So this is something near and dear to my heart, because for a long time I've recognized that many patients don't do well on standard thyroid medication. But the medical establishment persists in saying that's the way to go. In fact, they don't even underwrite reimbursement for natural thyroid, Armour thyroid, which happens to be the very self-same thyroid that Hillary Clinton is taking. She, about to turn 69, would be under Medicare as an ordinary citizen. Of course, she gets really high-class, very elite medical treatment, and cost is not a question. But for those seniors who require thyroid medication, their choices are limited to synthetic thyroid. And this study suggests that we really need to take a better look at how we treat thyroid patients. Many patients take standard thyroid, and no how do they feel better. They try all kinds of different doses. I've seen this again and again, high, low, medium. They just don't feel well. They feel sluggish, tired. In this study, they found that on average, folks who were given regular thyroid weighed about 10 pounds more than their peers of the same height, even though they consumed fewer calories. Plus, they were more likely to be using beta blockers. That's a drug frequently prescribed to lower blood pressure, and statins to lower cholesterol, because cholesterol is high when thyroid is improperly treated. So using the TSH, they say in this article, is not an adequate way to dose thyroid medication. We may do better with more ingenious use of natural thyroid or T4, T3 combinations, such as integrative doctors do. This is Intelligent Medicine.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, president of the Texas Organic Research Center. As you probably know, it's a toxic world out there, but we can do something about it. Become knowledgeable consumers and use products that are safe and healthy, such as natural supplements that help protect the body's cells from toxic exposure. One of my favorites is Reg Active with ME3, the only probiotic proven to actually produce glutathione in the body. It's the body's master antioxidant, unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals and exposure to environmental toxins. Glutathione decreases as we age. Reg Active is great for rebuilding it, and I strongly recommend it.
Look for Reg Active at Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold. Revolutionary. Remarkable. Reg Active.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 888-302-3684 is the number. We invite you to come directly into the doctor's office and pose a question to me. The question can be about medicine or nutrition. And we got lots to talk about, however. And so let's take a look at this incredible story, which is about placebo pills. So when I was in medical school, when we started talking about placebos, placebos had a real pejorative connotation. Our attending doctors, the older doctors who would instruct us, would sometimes deride us for prescribing medication to patients at too low levels. They would say, that's not enough medication to make the patient feel anything. That's like giving a placebo, which, of course, is worthless. A placebo comes from the word I please, and it means a sugar pill, a worthless medication that does nothing. But there's definitely a placebo effect, so much so that when you're conducting a scientific trial, it has to be what's called a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. In other words, the patients don't know whether they're getting the active medication or a placebo, a sugar pill, and the doctors don't know whether they're administering an active medication or placebo, because it might affect their behavior. They might feel more confident or impart more confidence to the patient, but they might have a frown or be skeptical when they give the patient a sugar pill. So the doctors don't know, the patients don't know, nobody knows anything. It's a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. But this is a very interesting story, because it was actually aired on the CBS Sunday Morning Show, and I saw it. And I saw an old colleague of mine, Ted Kapchuk, who's director of the Program for Placebo Studies at Harvard Medical School. Wow. A program for placebo studies. We've come a long way, baby, because placebos used to be thought to be just worthless junk. And plus, unethical, too, because doctors who see patients who complain a lot about, this, that, and the other thing, they think the patient is just seeking attention. So sometimes, in a cynical way, the doctor will administer a placebo. They'll say, here, try this, reach into their drawer, give them a little sugar pill. That's something from the dim past of medicine, but it was thought to be highly unethical to offer patients placebos in an effort to deceive them into thinking they were getting something. But placebos really do work. They make a difference. And sometimes, even in studies of antidepressants, placebos are notorious for producing about a 30% effect, which is comparable to the effects of many antidepressants. You take a sugar pill and you feel like, hey, I'm taking something day in and day out, I'm going to feel better. The effect is similar, in some cases, to popular antidepressants. Well, this is the first paper to demonstrate that patients who knowingly, I repeat, knowingly took a placebo in conjunction with traditional treatment for lower back pain saw more improvement than those given traditional treatment alone. So it's not a matter of deception. The patients willingly say, doc, give me that placebo, because that placebo really helps me. Incredible. It's really the power of the mind, or perhaps the subconscious, to heal. Very dramatic effect. Kapchuk studied 97 patients with chronic lower back pain. He had to do the study in Portugal, because maybe it would have been hard to do the study in the United States, because it would have been thought to be unethical to offer patients a placebo. But in Portugal, they could do it. They studied 97 patients with chronic lower back pain. And these patients were already taking medications, mostly non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medication like ibuprofen, naproxen, things like that. And they were allowed to continue taking these drugs, but they were told not to change dosages. And then they were given a medicine bottle labeled placebo pills with directions to take two capsules containing just nothing. Microcrystalline cellulose, no active medication. Here's what happened. At the end of their three-week course of placebo pills, the group taking them reported 30% reductions in both usual pain and maximum pain, compared to just 9% and 16% for the group taking real medication. And the group taking placebo pills also saw a 29% drop in pain-related disability. So, incredibly, on this CBS Sunday Morning Show, they show this woman who's suffering chronic pain, and she tried the placebo pills, and they really helped. And then they said, okay, the trial is over. And she was disappointed, and she said, I got to get a hold of some of those placebo pills. Can you give me some of those placebo pills? Because they really helped me. So next time your doctor derides something as a placebo, think again, because placebos really do work. And part of it is also the setting in which the placebo is provided. If care is administered in a setting where doctors take time, have a personal connection with you, are caring, and engage with you, that makes the placebo all the more effective. So I hope I'm administering an effective placebo to you as you listen to this program. Are you feeling better yet? All right. Would it surprise you if I told you that doctors know too little about nutrition and exercise? Well, this study comes to us from Great Britain, but it's just as applicable over here. Most doctors are ill-equipped to tackle Britain's increasing frequency of lifestyle-related diseases because they know worryingly little about how nutrition and exercise can improve health, according to a group of prominent medical researchers. They say, quote, there's a lack of knowledge and understanding the basic evidence for the impact of nutrition and physical activity on health among the overwhelming majority of doctors. This has its roots in the lack of early formal training. And they warn that the government's ambition to prevent tens of thousands of premature deaths from heart disease and cancer by 2020. There's an initiative in Great Britain to stem the tide of these degenerative diseases, that this initiative will fail without a radical overhaul of how the 8,000 young people a year who start at medical school, that's in Great Britain, here it's probably more like 40,000, are educated about lifestyle and health. So they say here, it's unthinkable that medical schools would not teach students about cancer, right? So he says, quote, it's equally unthinkable that overweight and obesity are ignored by medical educational bodies, a situation that cannot continue if unnecessary deaths and illnesses are to be avoided. So when I went to medical school, there was precious little in terms of nutrition study, and I think we only had about 2-3 hours on nutrition. So I had to go elsewhere to learn it. I went hither and thither and yon. I took special courses at hospitals in the New York City area and other medical schools where they were offered, and did a lot of self-teaching. Because, especially then, nutrition got short shrift. Things, 30 years later, not much better in terms of the deployment of nutrition and exercise as a bulwark against the degenerative diseases that are killing the majority of Americans. 888-302-3684 is our number, should you choose to call us. And let me tell you about NT-Factor. Because it's a remarkable nutrient that I've been prescribing to patients for 15 years now, and I've been taking it. I don't go a single day without taking it. Because if you suffer from frequent tiredness or fatigue, this is the only nutritional system clinically proven to reduce and eliminate fatigue, whatever the cause, age, illness, or just being run down. It's ProPax with NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. It's a complete vitamin and mineral formula with antioxidants, pre- and probiotics, omega-3s, and NT factor, all combined to help you feel better. Of course, it contains no harmful ingredients. ProPax with NT factor repairs damaged cells, and it restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown ProPax reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some of the symptoms of aging. As I said, I've been taking it for years, and I recommend it to my patients at the Hoffman Center. You can obtain it with a 45-day money-back guarantee. Really have nothing to lose with this offer. Call 800-982-9158 or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. 800-982-9158. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you're listening to Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Here's some real news you can use because there's been a longstanding controversy over the potential for supplemental calcium to cause calcium deposits where you don't want them. You want the calcium to go to your bones, not to the interior of your arteries. We sometimes talk here about the EBT heart scan, which measures calcium accumulation in the arteries of the heart as a means of predicting cardiovascular disease. Well, that calcium plaque is something which can narrow your arteries and make you more prone to heart attack and stroke. And so the question is, does taking calcium supplements increase your risk for plaque? And this has been very controversial because some studies say no problem. Other studies, notably one from New Zealand a few years back, suggested that women who take more than a certain amount of calcium supplements, perhaps the upper threshold is maybe 250 to 400 milligrams of excess calcium per day, are at higher risk for having calcium deposition in their arteries. So this poses a conundrum for women desirous of preventing osteoporosis, right? Because, well, way back in the 80s, they told you to take Tums, or they told you to take calcium carbonate, 1,500 milligrams of elemental calcium per day. And so were you helping your bones but doing damage to your blood vessels? A new study sheds light on that controversy. Taking calcium in the form of supplements may raise the risk of plaque buildup in arteries, according to Johns Hopkins Medicine, and increase the risk of heart damage, although a diet rich in calcium-rich foods appears to be protective. So there's a paradox. You could consume, say, calcium-rich dairy or green leafy vegetables that have a lot of calcium. Even salmon has some calcium. If you eat sardines with a bone, a lot of calcium. No problem. But when it comes to calcium supplements, those appear to increase the risk. More than half of women over 60 take calcium supplements. And after analyzing 10 years of medical testing of more than 2,700 people in a federally funded heart disease study, researchers at Johns Hopkins Medicine and elsewhere conclude that taking calcium in the form of supplements may raise the risk of plaque buildup in arteries and thus lead to heart damage. This is based on an article published October 10th in the Journal of the American Heart Association. And the researchers, however, say, look, correlation isn't necessarily causation. There's an association between calcium supplements and atherosclerosis. It does not necessarily prove cause and effect, but it is concerning. They suggest a caution in use of calcium supplements. And I have to say that over the past few years that I've been in practice, I concentrate less on giving calcium to women, and particularly men, because men perhaps a little less prone to osteoporosis, a little more prone to cardiovascular disease. And with women, my upward threshold is about 400 milligrams of calcium per day. I reformulated my multivitamin to contain a little less calcium. The osteoporosis formula I use, called Osteoprev, has less calcium. And the researchers looked at the 20% of participants with the highest total calcium intake, which is greater than 1,400 milligrams of calcium per day. And the magnitude of the effect was greater there. They found that that group actually was found to be on average, at a higher risk of cardiovascular disease, in terms of, the coronary artery calcium test. So, you know, caution flag on excess calcium, intake. There was a 22% increased likelihood of having their coronary artery calcium scores rise higher than zero over a decade, indicating development of heart disease in those taking the most calcium. All right. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete to reduce the many risk factors for cardiovascular disease, according to a new study. This is heartening news for people who hear about the exploits of senior athletes, people doing triathlons like myself, and ultramarathons, and they despair of it. They say, I can't do that. All I could do is maybe I could do a little ball walking. I walk my dog. I get outside a little bit. I walk a mile a day. I do some light housework. Maybe I'll get on the stationary bicycle, spend 20 minutes at a leisurely pace. So is that entirely worthless? A new study suggests that even low physical fitness, up to 20% below the average for healthy people, is sufficient to produce a preventive effect on most of the risk factors that affect people with cardiovascular disease. So this, published in the Journal of Cardiopulmonary Rehabilitation and Prevention, the study shows that even low physical fitness helps to prevent heart disease and early death. So this is great news for people with heart disease who have difficulty adhering to a regular, mainly aerobic exercise program, because if you already have heart disease, you've got a heart problem, you're on a lot of medication, maybe you're, you know, arthritic, disabled, don't give it up, because you don't have to be a great athlete to benefit from these effects. The ideal is daunting for a lot of people. They say that the recommendations of the World Health Organization, 150 minutes per week of moderate exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise, is unattainable for many people. It's just too much. However, moderate exercise can make a difference for people who just, you know, maybe that's not their thing, or they just don't have the strength and stamina to engage in a very rigorous exercise program. Of course, there are additional benefits, but it's kind of an 80-20 proposition. You may get 80% of the benefits from doing moderate exercise, and if you want that extra 20%, go for it. You know, do the very heavy-duty stuff. All right. This item, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, points out that there is a problem among adolescents in terms of their vitamin D levels. Study was done in Great Britain, but it could be equally applicable to the United States. They measured vitamin D levels in adolescents. Let's see, their age was, I think, 13 to 18, I believe, in the study. And they actually measured them at the end of the summer. Now, Great Britain, we know, is less sunny than the United States. But, nonetheless, you can make some vitamin D in the summer in Great Britain. And what they say here is this is a particular problem because at adolescence, that's the time of most rapid bone growth. It's vital that teenagers have sufficient levels of vitamin D. So they found a high prevalence of vitamin D deficiency. And then they determined how much vitamin D was necessary to get them to be normal. And what they found was that it took 400 to 1,200 international units of vitamin D for adolescents, otherwise healthy adolescents, to achieve just normalcy of vitamin D. So if you got a teenager running around, maybe not eating so well, maybe not taking supplements, get them on at least some vitamin D, or at least a multivitamin that has at least 400 to 800 international units of vitamin D, because that could help prevent problems later on in life if they don't form adequate bone. Osteoporosis, a serious problem, harder to treat later on in life. And maybe the best way to deal with osteoporosis is during those critical formative years, particularly for young girls, is to get them adequate vitamin D so that they build healthier bones. Okay, a little bit of a preview of what you're going to get if you go to drhoffman.com this week. We've got podcasts and a recent article by yours truly on why you should take your health advice from celebrities. Recently, Ben Stiller, the comedian, got out talking about his diagnosis of prostate cancer, saying that a PSA saved his life, and he urges all men, even under the designated age of 50, to get a routine PSA. Check it out, because maybe, just maybe, you shouldn't get your health advice from celebrities. They're not always right. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. You want to call us for questions?